Welcome, Spartans, to Mission Debrief. We've played every mission of the mainline Halo video games, and now we're playing every mission from the rest of the games in the franchise in chronological order. Each episode we'll be discussing our experiences and sprinkling in a little lore along the way. If you'd like to play along and have your thoughts read on the show, email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. We'll be playing the Last Stand mission from Halo Wars 2 on the next episode. If you like what you hear and want to support the show, visit Podcast Evolved on Patreon. You can also receive a free audiobook trial by visiting audibletrial.com/podcastevolved. This episode, we're debriefing the Halo mission from Halo Wars 2. There's a Halo in this Halo game. I'm your host, Colin Perkins, alongside David Arnold.
Hello, everybody.
And Krista Brown.
I hate the big, shiny, mean thing.
The floaty one or the circular one?
Both of them. They're mean and they're shiny. And also big.
Last mission was the Foundry. The Banished were using a portal at the Foundry to board the Halo that Professor Anders unlocked from the depths of the Ark. Alice 130 and Douglas 042 were deployed to stop their migration, but a series of barricades stood in the way. Cutter ordered the Spartans to hijack a scarab that was being repaired nearby to blast through the blockade and stopped more Banished from teleporting to the ring. After melting through the Banished forces, Alice and Douglas led a short-lived celebration and then transported themselves to the Ring World superweapon. Now, in the Halo, Red Team is reunited on Anders Halo and are quickly thrown into defense of Alpha Base. The UNSC pushes back the Banished, but a new threat emerges, a Forerunner Retriever Sentinel. Alice 130, Douglas 042, and Jerome 092 help destroy the powerful ship-sized drone, but more are deployed to slow down their progress towards accessing the control room. The UNSC must rush to activate control nodes scattered throughout the area before the Banished can use them to take command of the Halo. Date of the game is April 2nd, 2559. This is the penultimate mission of the campaign.
What?
No.
It is. We're almost there.
What?
And we finally hear from Atriox. More on that in a little bit.
He has a frog in his throat the entire speech. He's like coughing up something.
He's a little snorty. All right, so we'll start off with the... Actually, David, can you take the mission briefing for us?
Yeah, no problemo. So the mission briefing will start when I get to the bit that says... Here we go. Atriox. This is the very start, actually. This is not the briefing. Captain Cutter says, "We've stopped the Banished reinforcements from arriving on the ring, but Atriox has already managed to gain a foothold near Alpha Base." It's funny how all of our bases are always Alpha bases. Well, the first ones, they have a
standard. It's the first base on the ring. Their naming conventions aren't very creative.
Yeah, but you never hear about anything more than Alpha. Like, do we have a Bravo base sometimes? Maybe a Charlie base?
If things go real wrong, you get Zeta base.
Yeah, whenever we get Zeta bases.
Yeah.
Isabel, our troops have been trying to reach the ring's control room, but the routes are cut off by a Banished shield. Anders then cuts in, "We've got to get to control room so I can deactivate the Halo's firing systems and plant our signal beacon. If I can't do that, we won't be sending an SOS back home. We'll be sending back a very large and very live bomb." Captain Cutter then says, "If Atriox gets control of this Halo, he'll be holding a gun to the head of all life across hundreds of light years. We have to clear the Banished off this ring. It's up to you, Red Team." Spoilers, also the story of Halo Infinite. So now that's pretty much the end.
I was disappointed that he didn't say he's holding a gun to the head of the universe.
Like the name of the mission. Yeah. I also thought that straight away when I heard him cut ourselves.
Is that Key's line?
No, it's one of those subtexts. Like gun held
to the chapter names?
Oh, right. Yeah.
That pop gun up held in the middle to the of head of the universe. Missions.
I think, is that one in the library?
I thought so too, yeah. Is it? It might be.
It's either that or Two Betrayals, I think.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Let's talk about Atriox here in a little bit. Let's get through all the stuff, and then let's talk about Atriox. Him and Cutter have a little conversation. Then let's talk about kind of what we're doing here and what he's up to. The mission summary is get Professor Anders to the control room and clear the Halo of all banished forces. The scouting report, the Halo will have deployed Forerunner defenses to protect itself. Well, just one big defense at a time, anyway. The objectives are defend the UNSC base and then capture and hold the control tower. So we're playing, it's called Domination, right? Is that the game mode that we talked about before, where you're controlling the three nodes? We did this in a previous mission a while back, so yes. Similar type of setup here. The optional objectives, reunite the three scattered groups of UNSC forces. So there's three around the map. I'll just say them here in case we forget to talk about them during our walkthrough. But there's one off to the right on your way to the Bravo base. There's a Kodiak, a Warthog, and some Marines. And then there's also some to the right of Bravo base, like right, kind of right behind it on a little platform. There's a Scorpion and Wolverine there. And then to the left of Control Tower C is a Hornet and Warthog. Again, I don't rotate my camera that much, so I'm not using north and south and stuff like that because it's never up when you actually get control. The another optional objective is rescue Bravo base, then also destroy the banished base, and the final optional objective is win domination, controlling all 3 points. Bonus objectives, lose no more than 5 units to the Retriever Sentinel, kill 10 enemies with the Vulture ability. That one was a little bit hard for me because we'll talk about that a little bit. and then keep the enemy from acquiring more than 700 tickets. The part time is 20 minutes. The scoring goals, for gold, it is 115,000. Silver is 50 to 114. And bronze is 16 to 49. There is one skull, and it is After Party. And once you rescue Bravo base, you unlock After Party. And the skill is anytime a fire base is destroyed, the player who owned it gets a tank and infantry unit. Well, that's nice. The final score is decreased if you have that active. Krista, what's in the toy box?
Oh my god, there's so many things.
Like everything.
It is everything.
Yeah.
Our hero units are Alice, Douglas, and Jerome. No one's dead. No one's taking a nap. They're all here.
Yep.
We start with a command center with 7 slots, and you can upgrade it to a headquarters, which gets you some nice things. You can take 2 more fire base slots and a few 1-slot mini bases during the mission, and of course you get a second base.
Yeah, a couple of fire bases, yeah. You get the Bravo base, and then you can also take over that banished spot as well. So you can get 3 total.
Woo! All right, so base defense. We have turrets, anti-infantry, anti-vehicle, anti-air, and siege turrets. Oh my god, the siege turrets are so useful in this mission.
Good. Oh, yeah. They're so good.
So good.
They cost 900, though. They take a lot.
It's worth it anyway.
Yeah.
We have Marines, which you can upgrade to grenade throw and then combat tech. We have jackrabbits. I don't even know what those are. you can get a mini frag launcher and a support drone. We can get structures, supply pads, which you can upgrade, generator, which you can upgrade. We have the barracks, which you can upgrade 3 times, that has Hellbringers that can be upgraded, and snipers that can be upgraded twice, and Cyclopses that also can be upgraded. There's so many upgrades! Okay. We have the garage that can be upgraded. Warthogs that you can give the gauze cannon. Wolverines. Mm-hmm. Scorpions that you can get the canister shell. Mm-hmm. We also have the air pad, which you can upgrade 3 times, which you should.
Definitely do that.
There's the Hornet, which you can upgrade, which you should. And you have a Nightingale, which you can't upgrade, but you should build a shit ton of those. And also you can get Vultures, so you should build a shit ton of those as well.
Yep. Let's just talk about here, since we're mentioning the Vultures.
Sure.
The special ability takes forever, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Like you hit, I have them all selected. I'm hitting R on my keyboard. You guys use Y.
Ew, keyboards.
And it takes forever to deploy this thing.
Yeah, you and see then, the like red kind of line.
Yeah, you see the red line, and then a lot of times the enemies that I'm aiming at will be dead by the time the missile actually gets there. So I had the hard time getting that bonus.
Just
objective.
Use it on the Retriever Sentinel.
But you have to destroy it. Does it destroy it that quickly?
No, I think it just damages it.
Yeah. So in order to get that, I ended up getting it. It took me a while. I just built, you know, like 10 vultures in my last playthrough.
That you should be doing that all the time. Why aren't you doing that?
Floated them around.
All right.
Continue.
We have the armory, advanced logistics 1, 2, and 3, reinforcements 1 and 2, and fortify 1, 2, and 3. You guys know the drill by now.
Did you start? I forgot to go look back. Did we start with reinforcements 1 already? Like,
yes.
Could we get up to 100? Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, we started with 100, and then you could only upgrade it once. We have many Spirit of Fire abilities. Restoration drones that can be upgraded 3 times. Archer missiles that can be upgraded 3 times. Battle Harden, which can be upgraded. Locust Mines, which can be upgraded. ODST drop, turret 1 and 2. R&D 1, 2, and 3. And holographic decoy 1 and 2. So many things. Oh my god. It's almost like this is almost the end of the game or something.
Right.
All right. We also have some hero units, warlords, which just kind of pop up on some of the points every now and then. And then your Spartans start screaming that there's a warlord at the top of their lungs. They have the abilities Hammer Pull, Hammer Stun, and Siphon. Warlord gains health with each attack. So
when I did, I played this, I had previously turned on all the skulls, like the explodey skull. Like the one,
oh,
I think
no.
We talked about it last mission where they do the nuclear explosion.
Oh, yeah.
And we hadn't done that. So I turned it on and I forgot it was on because I played the previous mission. And then when I came and played this, there was a couple times when either my Spartan fell or the warlord died. And it just
blasted all your
everybody.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's an amazing thing though. Like, it's like this little mushroom cloud. It's a huge AoE effect. It's worth turning on and just having some fun with.
All right, we have ground units, grunts and brutes, suicide grunts, jump pack brutes, elites, and hunters. There are some turrets. We have some vehicles, ghosts, choppers, marauders, reavers, wraiths, and locusts. You know, just the normal stuff. air units, we have spirit dropships, banshees, engineers, and shrouds.
I think I saw a shroud, but maybe it was a blister back.
I think it was a blister back. I saw a bunch of the blister backs.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
The shroud is kind of this weird niche thing that shows up like once.
Okay.
But the leaders have powers and they use them all the time against you all the time and just destroy all your shit all the time. And they have the glassing beam and they have the vortex lightning.
Did he use
the vortex lightning.
He did? Okay. Yeah. And then the glassing beam was weird. Remember last time we talked about how the Enduring Conviction isn't around anymore, and last mission they didn't use these, but somehow they still have the glassing beam.
I don't know how they're doing that. I think it's cheating. I think they should be banned, actually.
I think you're right. They hacked the game.
Oh, man. It just makes me so... I don't care about the vortex lightning as much, but the glassing beam makes me, like, so angry.
Yeah. Whenever you see, like, the targeting system
it's
on the ground, you're like,
God
no.
Damn it. Seriously? Yep. And then at this point, I don't even try to run. I just sit there and watch all my units die. I'm like, oh, good. This is great.
A couple times, I just dropped the restoration drones right on top of it and then just kind of moved them around a little bit.
Yeah.
And tried to offset the glassing beam.
It's just really annoying. Also, the Banished have some unit buff powers that may be in use, like veteranacy.
Yeah, you got it this time. That was it.
I did it, Mom.
Mom, start baking the cake. I did it. Hi, Mom. And that's it. That's all the things. You know, just a couple things. They just give you a couple. I really wish they would give you everything, but whatever.
It's like all the stuff, but maybe not all of it.
It is pretty much all of it.
Yep. Well, we are on the second to last mission, so I already said the big P word. And
we
have a little bit of a gameplay cut. And we get to hear from Atriox. And Atriox is a little snorty. And I feel like he sounds different than he did in the beginning of the game, but that's
I
okay.
also didn't initially recognize him because of that.
Yeah,
I think there's like, a weird filter on captain? His voice. It sounds like there's a filter on his voice to kind of make him seem like he's talking through a radio or something.
Yeah, maybe there is.
That's true. Yeah, which he is. So he has a little conversation. He finally calls out Cutter. I'll just read it verbatim, and we'll talk about it afterwards. He says, "Captain, your troops fight with tenacity that almost matches my Girolani brothers. I'm impressed. You and I are survivors, and I respect that. So I offer you a boon. Take your troops, take your ship, leave now, and I will not hunt you down." Captain Cutter responds. He says, "Did you make the same offer to the people you slaughtered at the outpost? We're not going anywhere. We're only talking right now because you know I'm going to take this Ark from you." And Atriox laughs. He says, "Luck, treachery. These are the only reasons you still live." He's saying that Cutter's just lucky.
Where's the treachery? That's what I was intrigued about when I heard that today.
Yeah, that's interesting. Just to finish up the quote, he says, "Very well, I admire your spirit, but you've just sentenced your little ship to oblivion."
Little ship? He doesn't even have a ship anymore.
Yeah!
What's he posting about?
Stupid.
He's talking a big game here. And so this conversation is happening, and the camera is showing the battle going on in this map and around the ring and whatnot. And then we zoom into to our three Spartans here in a little bit. But let's just talk about this conversation.
Clear your throat before you start talking.
Yeah.
It's almost too much, the kind of like snarls.
I think so too. It's a little off-putting. And, you know, I'm an Atriox guy. But yeah, the way he sounds in this isn't great. But his dialogue is interesting. But we still, again, we've talked about it throughout this game, we still don't really know his motivations. Like say this mission doesn't go as planned, and the Banished get control of the ring. What are they going to do?
I don't know, fuck shit up.
But you know, that kind of goes against to what we've talked about and why the Banished are appealing, is they're just taking up, you know, the Covenant and humans, and they're saying, all right, let's do our own thing, and you know, hopefully everybody else leaves us alone. If people are going to fuck with us, we'll fuck with them, but just leave us alone. We still don't really know the motivation.
I guess wanting the ring, I guess it's just like he wants the biggest gun. Maybe like the biggest negotiating kind of thing.
Maybe he could treat it as a homeworld. Like maybe that's why he was just chilling on the Ark to begin with. He's like, all right, I'm just going to hang out here. We're going to be here.
He's kind of, do we think he's doing this because of the brutes? Because he's pretty, at this point, Atriox is pretty much the leader of the brutes right now. They're all kind of rallying behind him.
As far as we know, we don't know about what's going on in their homeworld.
Yeah, there's various sections of brutes because they pop up in the books and everywhere else, you know. Yeah. I definitely say at this stage, probably the Banished are probably the biggest. But that's purely guesswork because they could come out with something else. But I don't know. Yeah, we still don't really know. Hopefully Infinite might give us a bit more. And I don't know, will the next book conclude something, maybe, who knows.
Yeah, I mean, we still have another mission to figure out some more, and there's a Phoenix log I think that Krista might have some more insight on. I think it is another Atriox log, so maybe there's a little bit more in there, but it's just interesting. My interpretation of Atriox and the Banished, based off everything that we've been given so far, is they just want to be left alone. They don't want to be oppressed. They don't necessarily have that same world domination view as the Covenant.
Not openly, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that hasn't been communicated yet to them. So, you know, we'll see. So, if he does get a Halo ring, would he just hang out on the Halo ring and just go and get more, you know, more resources and more, you know, army? Or would he actually use it to threaten other worlds? Maybe he'd use it to threaten the Girolani homeworld I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk more about that probably in the recap as well, or unless anything else is revealed in the last mission. But it's just a little curious that's not, still hasn't been completely ironed out for us. The gameplay cut I think is fun, where you see Alice and Douglas and they're, you know, kicking ass, and then you see Jerome. I think Alice maybe says, "Who's going to take that one?" Then Jerome jumps on his back and uses a Spartan laser laser to get that hunter.
I wish that was a blur cut scene of the Spartan laser like exploding the
a point blank Spartan laser.
That's so cool. Yeah. those Those little, like, Golo would be fried. It'd be great.
It would be all over the place, like, big splatter.
Oh, I just imagine it in my head. Mm-hmm. It looks really nice.
It's a little goofy that Douglas only has his pistols.
That's one of the bits of, like, it says it's, quote-unquote, a mistake, but I don't think so. That was obviously something deliberate because they didn't want him standing there with a rocket launcher shooting people point-blank, is what I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the only thing he carries other than the rocket launcher.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, it's a weird thing, but it says this is probably something, and then maybe it ties into the other game modes, but says this is possibly due to the fact that all Spartans are fully upgraded when the gameplay starts. So I don't know, when you get the Spartans in the other game modes, do you have to like invest research into like leveling them up and giving them power weapons? Do they start with baser weapons?
You do, yeah. You have to upgrade them along the way.
Maybe that's just something there? I don't know what happened there, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's just a little goofy.
Yeah. It's probably just for the cutscene mechanic, is what I'm guessing.
Yeah, that makes sense. We have Alpha Base right here, right next to us, and there are a bunch of UNSC forces that we can't control, so they're all yellow. And they're pushing back the Banished right here. And so you can kind of go around the area and then, gather a couple of resources. There's a couple resource silos nearby. You can go grab those and then head up to the battle and push back the Banished. Once you do push back the Banished, and then you also have your base there. And Krista, what did you do to that base right away? Because there's a couple slots that are open.
Well, I built a vehicle depot. And then I built a bunch of supply pads. Oh, yeah, sorry. And a bunch of supply pads because the big mean shiny thing is about to fuck your shit up. Yeah. So you just need to make like a million Wolverines. Literally as many Wolverines as you can make.
Oh, is that what you did? Okay.
I should have done that. God, that thing really fucks your shit up. But if you have Wolverines, it shreds it and then it leaves you alone.
Oh, okay. Did you have to play this mission more than once to figure that out, or did you?
On my first try, I didn't remember that the retriever did that, mm-hmm. and it just destroyed my base. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. What a great way to start the mission. Okay.
And then you're done?
Yeah. Once it destroys the base, you're done. So if the retriever sentinel kills your base, you're done. And on heroic, that thing just shreds through everything and goes straight for your base and pretty much kills it in two shots.
It has this flashlight move, right? Like there's so it like shines this flashlight on the area and then it just zaps it.
Yeah. And it does that twice and you're dead. So you need to build like as many Wolverines as you can and then it dies.
Nice. And then it goes away.
Such bullshit. Well, I was so mad. I'm like, why would they do this? I forgot.
Does it go? It goes away, right? Or does it come back?
It never goes.
Repairs.
It never goes back to Alpha Base, though. It stays away from Alpha Base. Right. It just goes between B and C. After that, it doesn't attack bases directly.
So I was reading a little in the fancy strategy guide, and it says that you can see retrievers on the map. I think
can see them on the mini map. Yeah.
No. Like on the floor somewhere. Like in the what we call it the. Floorscape or whatever. What do we call that?
You can see them even if you don't have units around there. Is that what you mean?
I'm saying they might be dormant, like somewhere on the map. They're just chilling.
Oh, they're it's in the very middle, all those kind of blue floors. Mm-hmm. They're all in there. So every time there. A retriever sentinel gets destroyed or has to retreat, it comes back from that area.
Okay. Gotcha. That makes sense. That's kind of cool. I like that touch. So you do destroy it, and then it probably does hurt you damage it.
I don't remember. I never damaged it myself. It was usually the Banished that did it, and I would just... The Retriever Sentinel just pops off of the map, basically, on the minimap. So it's like, oh, okay. And then, like, after a couple minutes, it reappears. So I'm not exactly sure what the animation is, if it actually explodes or if it just, like, retreats, like, at the beginning of the game.
I think it becomes, like, invulnerable and it just disappears. Like, it just stops taking damage and it retreats. Like, okay. When you get it to a certain level. Mm-hmm. I think then, it just yeets out. Like I think it's the same one that repairs, because I think Anders has a line of dialogue where she says you can force it into repairs or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So
it's clear that you're not destroying it. Do you know what I mean?
So I think it goes into that blue shielded area and then it pops out again.
Gotcha. So that retriever is just
a nice guy
terrorizing us the entire mission, and it just rotates around.
You can use him to your advantage, though.
You can.
It's great. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit, Krista?
Sure. So the Retriever Sentinel pretty much exclusively attacks point B and C, and it kind of circles around that area. So if there are a bunch of banished at, like, point B, because they kind of tend to hang out there, the Retriever Sentinel will literally just go there and kill every single one of them, and then once it leaves, you just kind of, like, mosey your way on Stroll over up. And take it over. Then it goes over to C, and then it kills all the banished at C, and then you mosey your way back over to C, and then it goes to B. I just kind of bounced back and forth, so every time the Retriever went and cleared everyone out, I kind of just went over there, stayed on the point until the Retriever came back, and then switched to the other one.
Oh, nice. Did you, so just why don't we talk through the mission a little bit? Why don't you just keep going there, Krista? Did you go and get Alpha Bravo base at all? Or did you just hit go to the control points?
So my strategy with this was to at least have two of the points captured at all times. It's kind of the best thing to do. You don't really have to have all three. So I had kind of two massive hordes, and my hordes kind of included a Spartan in each horde. So one horde had two Spartans, at least three vultures, a bunch of hornets, and two nightingales. So the first horde literally just sat on point A, and I always had control of point A. The second horde goes up to Alpha or Bravo base, establishes a hold there, and goes straight to B and kind of hangs out at B until the Retriever Sentinel comes by, and then it goes over to C. So there's like in between those two points, there's like a power node, and that power node is a safe space. It's like all the way at the top of the map. So they kind of hung out there and just kind of bounced between the two points.
So you said your initial army, you sent over to the left of the base where A is?
Yes.
Okay, and then meanwhile you built up a new army and then sent them up to Bravo base?
Yes.
Okay.
I had two armies that I kind of was in. Like, the first army is really easy because it just sits on point A, and on Alpha base I also built two siege turrets at the back, and those siege turrets cover point A as well.
Yeah, those are nice.
It's really nice. So they didn't really have a problem at all. So I kind of just let them sit there, and every once in a while I checked on them, but they really didn't need anything because, of course, I had the two nightingales healing them up and stuff. So I kind of forgot about them, and then the second horde is the one I kind of had to, you know, baby a little bit.
Did the glassing beam bother one or the other more?
It tended to bother the one that was fighting enemies at the time. If there were enemies around the first point, point A, then the glassing beam would hit there. If I was fighting people with the second horde at point B and C, that's when I would get it. So you don't necessarily need to be active or like looking at those units. The glassing beam can hit your units even if you're not looking at them. And so that's why one of the reasons, and at that point, like, I was at, like, 119. So every time a unit died, I knew a unit died, and I could just replace it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I just watched that counter, and then if a bunch of units go down, I know they probably hit a glassing beam, one of the two hordes. So, the two armies.
Nice. How did you take over Bravo base? Was that a problem for you, or
not really. I had two Spartans, a vulture, and a couple hornets, and maybe a nightingale is kind of what I was running. I approached it from the bottom, which is where that power node is, and it's like a couple hunters, a sniper elite, and like one of those anti-air vehicles, and those die pretty quickly. And then I go over to the left of Bravo base, and there are two wraiths, and I have both of my Spartans capture one of the wraiths.
Nice. Yeah.
And then I go over to the top of the base, and there's just a couple more stuff, but at that point, like, they clear up pretty easily.
Yeah. There's a little mini base kind of next to it to the right.
Yeah.
That you need to clear out, otherwise they'll keep sending little attacks on your base. So what you did is you built an airbase down on the main, an alpha base at some point.
I had three air bases. So I had one. I had one at alpha base and two at Bravo. One of the Bravo air unit things was pretty much specifically just for upgrades. Mm-hmm. So I could still churn out units on one of the air pads while also upgrading them on one of the other ones.
Okay.
And then once all the upgrades were done, like, one of them made Hornets and one of them made Vultures.
Did you notice the Banished taking over a control point before you took over a control point, or did you grab A too quickly?
So the Banished will make the first move on that, so they usually go straight for A, yeah. So it's not like you make a move and then they make a move. They will start taking shit over pretty quickly.
So if you just turtle, they're going to start to do stuff regardless.
They will take all three points pretty quickly.
Yeah, they had all three on my game because I was just like...
Oh, they did?
I had nightmare flashbacks of my original playthrough of this, which was terrible. And I was like, once I saw the big thing, I was like, oh no. So like, I had a massive army at my base and kept it there for like way too long. And then they started saying, you're almost losing. And I was like, oh fuck. Is when that kind of gave me the kick up the arse. And then I split up my forces and went straight to A, sat there, found their base, went, oh fuck no, came back. And then just kind of held A while I sent my other force in just like a semicircle around the map. Grabbing everything, and then like.
So you got Bravo base too, or did you just go for the control point?
I did get Bravo base. When they kicked it out and said, "Oh, we're being attacked," I was like, "Stay there, I don't care." So I let them die and then picked it up.
So the Banished didn't put a base on top.
They didn't
of it.
Build on it. No, they didn't. Oh, okay. They destroyed it and just left it there. One thing I thought was funny is that like warlords were dying all the time, and it wasn't me killing them. And I just kept hearing, like, Warlord is being killed.
It was the Sentinel, yeah.
Yeah. Thought that was pretty funny.
Because they're way easier on normal, too.
Yeah. Well, and if you're playing on Heroic and you turtle and you let the Banished capture points, they will make a literal army on every single one of the points. The only ones, just becomes impossible to hold.
Yeah, I know.
So
it's
you
want to
make sure
you
populate.
They were constantly dropping engineers or flying in and spirits and
so
dropping
annoying.
Like all the time. Now I know it makes sense because like, you know, they're fighting you and stuff, but I was like, god damn it, stop.
Can you give me a break?
Let me have
a breather.
The spirit dropships drop a lot of armies. Yeah.
Oh my god, what is the capacity for those spirit dropships? Right.
Yeah, man, I mean, dropships in this game have just infinite capacity. They can drop literally anything.
Just black holes inside of them.
David, did you eventually take the base kind of off to the left of your alpha base?
No, I didn't. Base? I didn't take their one. Yeah, I left there. Okay. I tried it once with like my force, but then I honestly left it way too late to get the control points to the point where I almost lost the game. Like they were very close to 3,000. So when I found their base and I was kind of testing the waters and maybe I'll attack it, I was like, I lost that like army, and then they started taking C immediately. I was like, oh fuck, I had to like yeet a bunch of forces over there, do some ODSTs, drop a turret just to stop them from taking it, because I came very close to losing. So I was just like, okay, once I captured it back, I was like, I just left the base and let the counter go up. I just defended for like maybe 2 or 3 minutes before like I won the game.
So I was gonna ask you about that. So you did an ODST drop to like recapture a control point or defend it?
Yeah, I did an ODST and I did loads of turret drops, to be honest.
Okay.
They were very handy just to have something to drop on top of an enemy and just distract them from like taking the point.
What was your leader point like distribution? Where do you put all your points that you get along the way?
I had way more than I needed, but I did put it into Archer Missiles, Drones, Veteran C, and the R&D one last. I didn't bother leveling up like anything else.
Yeah.
I dropped a ton of Archer Missiles and had great fun, because on normal, when they're maxed out, they just wipe out whole units and tanks and stuff. I had great fun just dropping them on shit.
How about you, Krista? Where'd you put your points?
Pretty much the same. I fully upgraded Archer Missiles and Restoration Jones, and then Battle Hardened is what I did, really. Yeah.
That seems to make the most sense. Like, that's the smart move right away.
Yeah.
Especially Restoration Drones, because then you can save yourself from building up new units. I mean, that seems universal. and the veterancy, then they can just hit harder.
And the archer missiles are nice because if you control a point but you have no units at the point, you can still drop archer missiles at it.
Right.
And yeah, that's what I did to drop my turrets and ODSTs, even though I didn't have units there. I was able to reinforce it because I could technically, the fog of war wasn't covering it up, which was quite useful.
Yeah, the R&D one is interesting because you already have that ability in the armory where it like speeds up, you know, how quickly you build stuff, and it so it's like an addition that is kind of not necessary. I don't know. It's either you go for R&D right away, or you wait and just either not do it or just wait till the very end. But I don't know. That one's a little bit of a weird one. And then the holographic decoy, I feel like you would never need that in campaign. Maybe you need that, or maybe it's useful when you're playing skirmish or something like that against somebody online. But that one's just a weird one to me.
Maybe you could tactically use it to draw enemy forces out and into the line of fire of something else. Mm-hmm. But like I use some snipers to kind of like pull some units into my siege turret range. I did that once or twice and felt really like tactically clever, you know, patted myself on the back there.
But the holographic decoy is just like a Spartan ability, right?
I have no idea what it was. I thought it was a thing you deployed. Is it a Spartan ability? Mm-hmm.
I thought it, I've never used it, so
yeah, I have no idea either. For some reason, I just thought it was, for some reason in my head, maybe I did use it once, I thought it was you set 2 points, kind of like the archer missiles, and a Spartan runs between those points.
Oh, okay.
And then in my head,
kind of like Halo 4 stuff.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, but no, I've never actually used it, so who knows.
Well, maybe I'll try to do that before the last mission. I did something pretty much similar to you guys. I think the first playthrough I continued to go to the left, and then I tried to attack that base, but it was just too hard. I didn't have enough of army or veterancy to take it over, and I just wiped. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. So I was like, all right, so I'm going to go the other way. And it seemed to make sense for me to go, you know, I didn't even get A until the very end. I saved A for my last control point. I just built everybody up and sent them up to Bravo base, then established, you know, built up Bravo base a little bit. I did kind of mix with vehicles with scorpions and vultures and hornets and whatnot. And then sent everybody, I just kind of did, counterclockwise around the map. And then by the time I got B and then C and then sent everybody down, I did destroy the banished base. And then once I did that, I went over and got A. And then at that point, it was just kind of bouncing around between the points because they do drop off a lot of armies along the way. And then they go try to recapture the control points or the power nodes. And so it's just kind of managing that after that. But I did finish the mission on normal and heroic, where I had all three control points, so it's very manageable. I feel like on both of them, the addition of the glassing beam though is a pain in the ass.
So annoying.
Yeah, and then there's a lot. It felt like there's a lot more engineers on heroic as well, kind of, you know, just defending and healing and whatnot. But overall, you know, it's not too bad. It's an interesting mission because there's a lot to do. And, you know, you can build up, you know, as Chris said, there's so many, you pretty much have everything at your disposal. So
you can play it any way you want, really.
Mm-hmm. And there's no real, well, I guess there's a timer in the sense that you need to beat them to the 3,000, I think they call it tickets, domination tickets. So this mission can be quick if you're able to just, you know, take those control points quickly and just not let the banished have them at all, probably more likely on normal or easy than on the higher levels. But then so the mission can take a while if you just kind of take your time. But I never felt like I was in a big rush either. Did you, David, feel like you, well, I guess you might,
yeah,
have been,
I did, but
you,
it was, yeah, self-imposed.
You waited too long.
Yeah, but that was good because it gave the mission a bit of kind of urgency, and near the end there was an element of, oh shit, I'm gonna lose this, so that was kind of fun, you know, but not the correct way by any means to play this.
Did you feel rushed at all, Krista?
Once I got a hang of the mission, not really.
Mm-hmm.
On my nice run, I did great. Like, yeah. once you kind of, like, understand what's going on and kind of get a rhythm, it's pretty casual. She's like, yeah. La, 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 I'm going to move him here.
I got 2 points. They
make some units. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like the Retriever Sentinel, he moves around the map slow enough that you can really just avoid him if you want. There's a couple times where all of a sudden I was just getting, you know, whatever his laser beams are, they're on you. And I was like, oh, crap. So I just kind of moved out of the way so that I didn't even fight him. For the most part, I didn't engage him at all. I just got out of the way and avoided it.
Yeah, just let the Banished take the brunt.
Right. One fun trick that I did do is my vultures moved over. There were at one point, I think it was control point B that the Banished took, and there was a warlord there. So I moved like 5 vultures over over to that point, took out the warlord and all the other Banished that were right there, but then I couldn't take it, so I was like, oh, I'm just going to drop some ODSTs right here, and then dropped them there, and they took the point, and then I was all good. We're back on track. So that felt good. A good use of the ODST drop, and like a natural use of them. The mission ends as soon as you do get the 3,000 tickets, and then it does something a little weird that it doesn't really explain at all in my mind. Like when you're listening to the dialogue and trying to follow the story, it makes it sound like you controlling these nodes is going to then give you access to the control room or allow you to enter the control room. It doesn't say anything about you taking over this retriever, which it describes at the end.
She talks about it. Yeah. Like,
oh, she does in the dialogue?
Yeah, once you get 2 or 3 points, she's like, all right, I can hack into the Retriever Sentinel faster.
Oh, okay. I just missed that.
Oh, I never learned that, yeah.
Gotcha. So you have to actually pay attention, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you have to pay attention.
Yeah, Colin, jeez.
Well, you know, that's my weakness. So that makes sense then. And then you kind of see it bugging out a little bit, and then she takes control of it, and then it spins around, and you see this bit, like the shield, the blue shield around the control room, which again, the control room in Halo Wars 2 is weird because it's not a room or a structure. It's like this open air control point.
I mean, it couldn't be the like classic pyramid thing, because that wouldn't be able to fit that much shit on it. So
yeah, no, I get, yeah, right. They had to switch it up a little bit, but which will be interesting to see if this comes into play. Like this same approach to a control room, will that carry forward in future Halo games? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
It won't be a Halo Infinite though, because it's a completely different installation.
True.
From like these ones, it's not part of the Arc ones. It's not part of the Arc Halos.
Good point.
They've all been slightly different, to be fair. They're not like every ring wasn't like a carbon copy of the previous one. So
mm-hmm.
I like the idea that they're a little bit different. And you know, it's obviously Infinite's the most fucked up one, so they have the biggest amount of deviation, let's say, from the norm that they can play with.
And then you see at the very end, you just see Anders getting dropped off by a pelican. She hustles out towards the control room, and then we fade to black.
Oh, I'm so excited. That mission is so much fun. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots to do. Oh, the last mission, you mean?
Oh yeah, it's really,
I don't remember it right now.
Yeah, I played it for just a hot second, and it was, I'd forgotten all about it, so yeah, it'll be fun discussion next.
It's very
episode.
Different.
Mm-hmm. All right, any trivia that we missed, David?
2 very small bits. After fighting off the Retriever for the first time, only the non-player allied Kodiaks become controllable by the player. If you've managed to fight off the Retriever before it destroys most of the allied units, they will not become player control and will remain in their position for the rest of the mission. So I thought that was interesting.
Oh, that
you
is
can cool. have some permanent allies if you're quick enough.
Yeah. Then I thought against your units then.
Yeah, that's true. I thought I was really clever because I managed to save about 2 or 3 to Kodiaks, so I was like, hell yeah, free units.
Mm-hmm. Krista, did you do that at all? Like, did they stay there?
I think I had 2 and I just forgot about them and abandoned them. Because they weren't flying units, I mean.
I remember one of my first playthroughs, I saw there was like 1 Cyclops left, just like this little yellow Cyclops just standing there. I was like, what is this guy doing?
Oh, nice.
I thought it was glitching out, but no, that's interesting.
And that's pretty much it. Like, you've the thing with the Douglas, and the only bit of trivia else that's even worth mentioning is the after party skull, but you already mentioned that, so that's kind of all I got.
I do want to mention one thing. You know how I made a bunch of Wolverines to kill the Retriever Sentinel?
Yeah, what did you do after that?
I sacrificed them to the Retriever Sentinel. I needed the unit space. I don't want. What am I gonna use Wolverines for? I
just had them rolled them out towards the retriever that was the replacement retriever.
Yeah.
Well, you can't kill them, so you gotta do something.
I need my vultures. I need space.
It's like I gotta make space, guys. You guys gotta go. So I sacrificed.
That would be
them.
An interesting gameplay mechanic if, as of recording, there's no Halo Wars 3, but. If you could, like, go put your vehicles in the garage and then redeploy them. You know, you could kind of do that in Halo Wars
like 1. Like, scrap them for something else.
Yeah, when you're on top of the Spirit of Fire. Remember, you, like, put them back into those garages or whatever they were.
That's just, like, a garrison mechanic.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's a garrison mechanic, but it's also, like, they're not fire.
You want to recycle them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I want to take these. I don't want to lose them, but I want to turn them into something else or redeploy something else. That could be interesting.
Just give me some supplies back.
Yeah, right. Refund. I want a refund.
I want a refund. I used these and I didn't like them.
I don't like these anymore. Oh, man. All right. Let's see. We have one Phoenix log.
Only one.
And it is south of the main UNSC base. Next to the two power silos. So it pretty much gives it to you right away if you explore that initial area at all. What do we have?
All right, so this is Rise of Atriox VI or 6 if you're a normal person.
From Rome?
It's our friends S&D who are talking still. So Oni Section 0 board surveillance transcription of internal communications between subjects S and D. 315. 2558. 1702 hours. Full transcript available on request. S. Sir, it's me. We've lost him. He's completely disappeared. D. You can drop the sir. I'm not your boss anymore, remember? I take it I know which him we're talking about. S. Every one of our sources says the trail has gone cold. Those that are still answering my calls anyway, without Oni channels at my disposal, the only people talking are those who owe me favors. D. Don't they they don't need us now that the war's over. Forget about it. S. Forget it? Atriox has assembled an army somewhere out there and we still don't know what he's after. I've got connections on Doizek, and he's become a symbol to the Jerohane, a new leader to rally around. While we've been fighting the Covenant, he's been growing and gathering his forces. The last time we heard from him, he had captured a whole host of Huragok, Forerunner Engineers. You know what those things can do? D. Listen, I stopped caring when they cut me out. They pull me up on a few shady deals after what they did to the Spartan 2s? Hypocrites. They ask you to get your hands dirty and then they're too good to shake your hand. The only reason I'm not in some detention station is the stuff I have on them. So let them find out about Atriox in their own time. Don't call me here again. We're done. So,
That's cool.
We just witnessed a breakup. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. S and D did a nasty breakup.
So is S's Oni?
I think they're both Oni. I think D was the superior leading the Atriox investigation and got in trouble, and S is still reporting to him because he just cares about what's going on.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it adds a little bit more depth to the Banished, but yeah, very interesting. I like these. All right, let's do some community and we'll get out of here. David, what you got in Facebook?
I have the Facebooks. Colin Perkins created a poll. Here we go, people. Some bit of fun times. Admin 2 days ago, who is the best member of Red Team and why? Christopher Debrief, Halo Wars 2, The Halo Mission. There are 3 choices. No surprises. I think the winner... I think actually the sequence of this is predictable. Got a good few votes, to be fair. We have Jerome winning. 092. Sorry. Jerome 092. Alice 130. And Douglas 042. No Douglas love. I think that's fair enough because the other two characters are really more enforced. Like, they have more, let's say, quote-unquote screen time. than Douglas does.
Yeah, but I mean, Douglas has some cool moments. Like, he's the one that drives the Scorpion, and then he has that kind of that big return that we talked about too. So, but I feel like maybe because he was fleshed out more. Well, first he was injured.
He was dead.
He was dead, and then he was fleshed out more after the fact. After Jerome and Alice are both fleshed out, so yeah. I mean, the other two do get more screen time, and overall, I feel like they have better moments or better personalities, so that makes sense.
Yeah, some Pythonigo comments are pretty good. Obviously, the parallel between Jerome and Chief is called up a lot, and I do think it's kind of cool because I think a Jerome and Isabel dynamic would be pretty interesting, I think, to play and see that fleshed out. We got that kind of touched upon, but like, that would be pretty cool because, you know, Isabel is nothing at all like Cortana. She's way different. She's a logistics AI, so obviously she's been shoehorned into a situation where she has to adapt. I thought that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but she's clearly powerful. I mean, based off what she did.
She clearly adapted quite well to her surroundings. I think that was pretty cool. Alice is obviously awesome. Ryan's is a level. Alice goes all Red Dawn on the Banished. Hit and run guerrilla tactics are very useful in their situation. That's pretty much what Spartans were trained to do. So yeah, they're very good at it. A lot of Alice love. She is total badass. Why wouldn't you? Luke kind of says a PS. Per Douglas is going to get his ass kicked again. Yes, he does. But unlike George, he didn't die like a wimp. You know, he came back. Stuck around. Oh, I love Ethan. He says, unknown. It's impossible to tell them apart. Yes, Ethan. You get a like, my buddy.
That's very good.
I'm all about that. I mean, pretty much people's comments. A lot of Alice and Jerome love. Good stuff. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for participating, Facebook. We love you all. Discord, what do you have to say?
All right. Alice with 9 points, Jerome with 7 points, and Douglas with 2 points. Oof.
I was the one that voted for it, because in Discord, it gives everybody one vote automatically. Oh. So yeah. I gave Douglas a pity vote.
Aww.
So he got no votes, is what you were trying to say.
He got no votes, yeah.
Claptrap says, Alice is best girl, she's female George. Is she dead?
Oh.
Oh, no.
She's not.
No.
Maybe she will be after the next mission.
Prophet of Rhyme says, Alice do the best, the wise ass of Red Team. Matt says, Jerome is the de facto leader of Red Team, therefore for Jerome is the best, period.
Okay.
Jedi Spartan 38 says, Jerome because he has the best cutscene of the game where he and Isabel decimate the Banished / Enduring Conviction. Pope says, I mainly like Jerome because he's one of my favorite leaders to play online. Morale boosting and Marines rushing is fun. Those must be his, like, abilities. Tom Bomb says, Douglas because he is the single worst member and he represents me the most.
Oh, he ain't all bad.
DeZuto says Douglas because of his glass shoulder. Because it gets crushed.
Some Douglas love, kind of.
They're making fun of him. Garkin just says Alice. Hector says Alice because her big ass machine gun makes me jealous. Mine is only 99 millimeters and only 400 RPM. And then Cass, with like 5 minutes ago, she commented with the clutch, Alice because I really like her. Perfect.
Yeah. Nice.
I do like Alice.
She won the vote on Discord, is that right?
Yes, she did. By 2 points.
Very good. Thanks. Thanks for your thoughts, Discord, as always. Really quick, how are you guys feeling now going into the last mission? David, are you feeling like this is the end of the game, or does it not quite feel like this is the
end of the game? Not really. I'm kind of, I guess I should know, but like, I was totally shocked by this mission. I thought I was maybe halfway. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. The climax of the story isn't clear yet. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We know what they're trying to do. I never thought that, like, we know that Anders is trying to get a message out, but I didn't think that, like, that would actually be the end of the game, that little kind of cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I do feel good. I mean, the story is interesting when you just break it out. It feels a bit weird because obviously RTSs are weird ways to tell stories anyway.
Sure.
But, like, when you kind of break it out, watch the cutscenes, know what the characters are saying and what their objectives are, it is pretty cool. Like, it is a cool story. So I'm pretty pumped going into the last mission because I can't actually remember it.
Yeah. The it's interesting as the game has unfolded, we're really just, as a UNSC, we're really just kind of pecking away at the Banished. You know, this whole thing, like, there's never this, like, if it was the UNSC forces against the Banished forces straight up, the Banished would probably win, right? Because they have more and they have a lot of powerful forces. But the way that this campaign has unfolded, it's like, okay, we can't beat the Banished straight up, so we got to go, you know, take away the portals, and then we got to go, you know, do a couple other things to kind of reduce their strength so that we can then, I don't know, well, I guess, well, we took out the Enduring Conviction, and then our whole plan is to use this halo to then call for help. So it's like a little, it's not a straight up one-to-one fight. It's a little bit, it's like guerrilla warfare, right? I don't know. Krista, how are you feeling about it?
I'm really upset because there are like 5 files in my computer called Halo, and I'm not sure how I'm going to name this file.
Well, this one has a cool name, and I think I know, like, the Halo.
The
like,
Halo.
That's a pretty cool name, I think.
But yeah, if I search Halo to find the file, it's a lot to go through.
It's Andrew's Halo. It's her Halo.
It's her. It belongs to her.
It was her idea.
Don't take away her Halo. But
she built it.
She did, all by herself, with her two mm-hmm. hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the pacing in Halo Wars is a little weird. I'm not sure if it's because we are playing it mission by mission. It kind of interrupts the flow of the game a little bit.
Sure.
But yeah, it does feel a little weird that this is the second to last mission. I mean, if... It might just be because, like, the cutscenes are so few and far between, so it's, like, hard to tell when you're transitioning to from one act to another, because we mm-hmm. went so long without cutscenes, and ever since that space battle, we haven't seen another one, so...
Yeah.
That might be it. I'm not sure what it is. I know the next mission is, like, super epic, so maybe that will kind of help us with the pacing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we're definitely not playing Halo Wars the way it's supposed to be played.
Yeah, that's true. It's interesting because we have, like, Atriox is set up right away, super powerful, but then we never really face him again. Maybe we'll see what happens in the next episode, or next episode, next mission. But we haven't seen him, we haven't battled against him specifically, like his hero unit or anything. We haven't seen that on the battlefield. We saw Decimus, and we've seen Warlords, but we haven't seen Atriox proper, so that I feel like that makes it feel a little weird. We saw him right away. He's a super powerful being, and then we kind of slowly chip away at him along the way, and it's building up to this final mission. But you almost expect like a full arc, be like, we see him right away, he's powerful, then we face him halfway through, and instead of facing him halfway through, we face Decimus.
Yeah.
And Decimus never really got any you know, any character development.
I think what they were trying to do is kind of paint him like the opposite to Captain Cutter, where he never is on the ground doing things. He's always, you know, sending units out kind of above the battlefield, like mm-hmm. what we're doing.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of how they painted his character the entire time, and especially in some of the advertising and stuff like that. And, like, you'll see some of the cutscenes that we're about to look at kind of do the same thing.
Sure.
So I think that's why. Also, I think 343 knows they have a great character on their hands, and they can't really put him in any danger because of that. Because we've only seen him in cutscenes. We saw him in the first cutscene, the cutscene where his ship got damaged, and this kind of just weird kind of gameplay cutscene. So I think that's why, but it kind of makes him a little aloof and weird. And I wish that they just had them like fighting back and forth like throughout the campaign.
Yeah.
Like if we heard, like if every time we entered a mission, like Atriox and Cutter are like fighting, like
yeah,
spouting shit at each other. More of
this discourse that we just heard in this mission.
Yeah, I think he would be more of a prominent figure in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because he kind of stays in the background the entire
time.
He's
kind of hidden, which kind of makes sense, but at the same time, yeah.
They keep him mysterious, which I kind of like too. It's kind of like something they can bring out in their back pocket. I think, obviously, they were being clever and not presenting him in the game as, like, you know, something you can kill. After creating and setting up such a big character.
Right.
Yeah, I think there needed to be more from his perspective, like maybe more cutscenes or something. Like maybe when Cutter is giving his speech, Atriox is giving like the anti-speech to Brutes or something like that. Just so there's more of a connection that Atriox is the anti-Cutter of this game. Like he's doing the exact same thing that you are as a player.
But opposing you.
Yeah, but opposing you. So I think that could, that kind of angle, because that angle keeps Atriox out of trouble, but still keeps him in the picture. I think they could have used that angle a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just even just one more cutscene somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, just something.
Yeah.
So maybe him looking down at the battlefield or something like that, kind of like what Cutter does.
Yeah. We'll talk more about this in the recap, but it's an interesting point, I think, just to have this discussion here going into the final. The final mission. All right, that will do it for our debriefing of the Halo mission from Halo Wars 2. On the next episode, we'll be covering the final mission of the main campaign, The Last Stand. Send us your thoughts at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. You can also support the show by visiting Podcast Evolved on Patreon. And don't forget that free audiobook trial. Visit audibletrial.com/podcastevolved. Until next time, evolved.
Evolved.